accession number 28353, reel 19.
Well, I'm interested in what you say there. There's something that someone said to me, and I'd be interested to see if you feel there's any strength in this. An RAF officer of contemporary of mine who joined and spent 20 years and then came out said that the fundamental difference is in the RAF, people join to fly. That's the real thing that people join to do. Whereas in the other services, yes, of course they join the Navy to go to sea and so on and so forth. But there's an extra dimension to it, especially, he said, in the Army, where there is almost, in some regiments, a sort of social element to it.
I think there are still regiments where there's a great family connection. There's a substantial cost still to being member of a certain regiment because you're expected to do this and do that, and therefore if you don't have the private money to do that, it is going to be difficult for you. Obviously some people join the Air Force not to fly, they join to be engineers or administrators or whatever by choice, but you're right, the lure of the Air Force to those that really drive it is being air crew, and being air crew I think is slightly different to being a ops officer in a ship which then goes on to command a ship. You really are doing the job, and although in a ship you are fighting as part of the ship or you're actually fighting the ship as the command, it's not quite the same hands-on as flying an aircraft. And the other services I think sort of rather laugh at us sometimes because having been trained as air crew, we want to keep doing it. Whereas I think in the other two services, once they've gone through a stage of ship operations or running a battalion or company commander, the other two are quite happy to put that behind them and say, that's something I did in my younger days, I now want to go on and do it. But if... CNC Fleet, for example, doesn't go off and go and drive a ship for a day just to sort of he goes and visits a ship, but he doesn't go and drive it, whereas a group commander or something, will go and get himself checked out in an aeroplane in order to fly it. It is one of the ways in which, he keeps in touch with the front line, and it is a slightly different approach. Yes.
And my final question for you is... I always ask this, and that is a sort of post-retirement question, and that is, what do you do now?
Well, I clearly miss certain aspects of my service career. I miss sort of, being amongst the people on the front line and things of that nature. I don't miss Whitehall. I don't miss many of the debates that we used to have there. And what do I do instead? Because I didn't want to vegetate in retirement and just sow peas and beans in the garden. Equally, I didn't particularly want to work for gain by being a consultant or a...
I was going to ask, did industry attract you in any way?
No, not at all. Nor to be either a consultant or indeed the senior defence sort of spokesman for a company or something. That was not... appealing to me. I decided that I probably had enough through my pension to live. I don't have a particularly extravagant lifestyle. I'm not always wanting to go on skiing holidays and things of that nature. And the house is paid for. I don't have a great mortgage hanging over my head and things of that nature. So I decided that therefore the pension would be sufficient. So I elected to be fairly busy, probably busier than I actually wanted to be, certainly busier than my wife was hoping I might be, through trustee-type appointments. I was approached by Jock Slater, who's chairman of the Imperial War Museum, before I retired to become a trustee of the Imperial War Museum, and he wanted an airman to replace the previous one, and he asked if I would come and do that. And so I am a trustee, and indeed I'm now deputy to him as deputy chairman of the Imperial War Museum, with a particular focus on Duxford. I'm also a trustee of the American Air Museum in Great Britain, based at Duxford. Something that I always wanted to do, because it seemed such a fascinating and worthwhile thing, was to be involved with the Commonwealth War Grave Commission. So I became a trustee of that organisation, and I'm now deputy chairman and therefore de facto chairman of that, having taken over this last month from General John Wilsey. The Secretary of State is actually the chairman, but of course he can't actually apply the time, so de facto the deputy chairman does it. So I'm that. I'm chairman of a board of governors for the school that I went to in Somerset. And then I fly as a staff pilot for an Air Experience flight. So that takes me 3 days a month or so at Culzean, north of Bath. I'm president of the Maritime Air Trust, which is a project which probably only has another 2 years or so to run, but for the moment I'm president of that. And I'm on the Council of the Air League, so quite a number of different sort of trustee-type appointments, and trying to sort of fit them all into a week is quite difficult.
And these, of course, are all pro bono. You work pro bono for all these? Your
yes.
Expenses only?
Well, expenses sort of only, other than actually the Commonwealth War Graves. In fairness, the Commonwealth War Graves, which is now about sort of 8 days a month or so, it's about 90 days a year or so, that does command a salary. Yeah.
Right.
But the others don't.
I think we've reached the end.
Well, thank you very much.
It just remains for me to thank you very much on behalf of the museum for your tremendous contribution over these 2 days to the Sound Archive.
Well, not at all.